Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call it Baltimore Positive. You can find us out in Podcastlandia. We're out on the video channels, the socials, and of course at AM 1570 here in Baltimore. Please set a spot on your dial as we get through baseball season. We're going to get through this football draft this week. Luke Jones is going to join us now. We're going to be on Wednesday doing a really nice turn for LLS over at Coopers North, one of my favorite places. Terry, the manager there, two-time leukemia survivor. We're going to talk to him. We're going to have Nick Schultz come out and join us. Bill Cole's going to be there. My buddy Pete Raimondi is going to be with us Wednesday. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I swear I have Back to the Future. I have my scratch-offs beginning of the week. If the Orioles couldn't get themselves together on Sunday, why should I on Monday morning? Back to the Future is the way to do it. I'll be giving these out. I had a lucky little batch last week as we spent some time at Beaumont with Chad Wiesling and John Allen. It was a mix of strange mix of rock and roll, football, baseball, and tariffs. We did it all last week. You'll be hearing that here. Luke, Orioles had a game on Easter. I know you're with your nieces and you're worshiping and you're the deacon at your church and all that. And then you thought, oh, I'm gonna get the family together. We'll have Easter baseball today. Woo! Boy. It'd be a little while washing that one out, won't it?
It's funny. I was kind of wondering what was I going to say, and then I watched night two of WrestleMania, and the main event of that was a dumpster compared to how epic it was a year ago. So I figured out well my lead.
So hold
I
on,
don't know what was
WrestleMania was a thumbs down too?
the main event was. It
Okay.
absolutely was. But so I figured out my lead statement is I'm not sure what was worse, the Orioles losing 24-2 or whatever the heck that main event was for night two of WrestleMania, but we'll stick to the more popular subject on these airwaves.
No. Who
Certainly,
wrestled? I need to know.
it was John Cena against Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes last year won the title. It was this epic, multi-year story that had been told with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, and they had all these different run-ins of wrestlers, from The Undertaker to John Cena and all these different guys. This reference won't have any meaning for you because you're not a Marvel cinematic universe guy, like the Avengers and Endgame and all that, which was so huge over the last 15 years, where last year felt like Avengers Endgame as it pertains to the WWE universe. And last night they had John Cena win his 17th world title, which was fine, except 7 weeks ago you had him turn heel and it looked like it was going to be this epic, very much layered kind of story,
To get Kevin
and it
Eck back to
wasn't.
write the scripts. That's what they need to
It
do.
wasn't. They
Hire
had,
Kevin again.
I'll leave you with this. Travis Scott, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a famous rapper, famous music act
Yeah,
in
he
this
was in
day and
Houston the
age.
night all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But they had him come down and interfere on John Cena's behalf. No other wrestler, no other. So, not my cup of tea, was
They
not.
they've lost the ball, is what
They
you're
kind of
saying.
lost me. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those deals where.
All I saw about the WrestleMania over the weekend, just so everybody knows, because I don't really want to talk about this baseball game, but we will.
We will.
And
Neither one of these are pleasant to talk about for
I have
me.
a dear Katie Griggs letter coming this week that Katie's going to want to read, and Mark Fine and the Whistler, all of them are going to want to read it as we were unrepresented in the press box on Sunday because you were worshiping. It was second biggest holiday, maybe the first in the Christian religion on Sunday. And stadium was empty, and our press box seat was empty for the third time that week. So I'm getting a little now that the holiday's over, religious holiday's over. It's time for me to get. And we have the real religious holiday of NFL draft coming this Thursday as well. But the wrestling thing for me, it came to me on my timeline in only one way, and this is. This speaks to politics in the country and sports and why nothing lacrosse ever shows up on my timeline. My timeline gives me what I want, right? So WrestleMania happened, right? And I'm a Dusty Rhodes guy. So like last year it might have been some Dustin Rhodes. And because you goof around on our Facebook and our YouTube, clicking on things, all sorts of wrestling stuff shows up. I have more Bob Backlund and Ken Patera and Ivan Putski on my YouTube than I think I should have. But the only thing they posted on my entire timeline about WrestleMania was Vernon Reid in Living Color. Look in my eyes, what do you see? So I'm like, yeah, Living Color's playing at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, that was Saturday night. Yeah, well, cult of personality is CM Punk, who was in WWE for years, left in 2014 on terrible terms. You know, there are lawsuits, all kinds of bitter feelings for the better part of close to a decade. He came
Well,
back.
the McMahons escaped. They're now running education in America. So,
Yeah.
yes.
But he came back in November of 23. However, he got hurt at the Royal Rumble last year, and that kept him out of WrestleMania. So this was CM Punk's first WrestleMania that he had taken part in since 2013. But yeah, they played live. That was cool. I mean, the rest of the card wasn't terrible for me. It wasn't like the greatest ever or anything like that, but it was fine. The main event was just a colossal miss for me, especially on the heels of how great last year was.
Well,
But
wrestling never takes a month off, but baseball
never
does
does.
when you lose 24-2.
Well, yeah. And that's where we can't delay talking about it any further. I mean, full disclosure, as you know, I mean, I had family over. I had 17 people in my house, family and some friends from church and things of that nature, or people of that nature. So I had it on in the background. And it was one of those deals where I looked at, first inning, Charlie Morton, okay, good, scoreless first inning. And then every time I'd look up, there was traffic on the bases.
And
And he was
crooked
giving up runs.
numbers.
And then he was not even getting out of the third inning. So, I mean, disastrous, embarrassing. There's no sugarcoating that whatsoever. The guy has an ERA over 10. They're not going to cut him right now. I don't really know what the alternative is. I mean, Brandon Young made his major league debut on Saturday. It wasn't good. It wasn't so awful that he didn't give them a chance to stay in the game. And they won the game. I mean, kind of a reverse lock scenario after I was singing the praises of Hunter Green. They got to him pretty good, but I mean, that was just so below the bar. I mean, it's awful. Charlie Morton's either washed up or so lost right now that I mean, I don't know how I know how they do, and they probably will, but I don't know how you have him make his next start. That's how horrendous he's been. I don't know how you don't at least try to pivot to skipping him, putting him in the bullpen for a week. I don't know. And again, what are the alternatives, right? I mean, we're
Well, you're not
talking.
sending him to Norfolk to pitch, and he
Well, you
doesn't appear to
can.
be
I mean,
hurt, right? He's
yeah.
not hurt.
So, I mean, maybe we see the Ubaldo Jimenez pothole scenario, but again, who, right? I mean, but it's so bad that this isn't a pitcher with a 5.5 ERA where you say, well, you could replace. He's been that horrendous. And guys like me can try to keep diving deeper and looking at the curveball that I talked about that last week. But what we saw on Sunday, I mean, there's nothing competitive about that. He's not commanding his pitches and he's getting hit. I mean, this is a Reds lineup that's not, this isn't the Yankees. This isn't
I mean,
a.
let's talk about the philosophy of this because it is NFL draft week this week, and give everyone Ozzie Newsome's philosophy on football players. Better to get rid of them a year too early than a year too late. You know, Calais Campbell a couple of years ago. Whether any of the departing 30-something free agents who wanted to continue to play, Ed Reed being one of them, right? Who wanted to go elsewhere and do their thing. Now, Joe Flacco still got work, right?
Yeah.
But I would say the notion that the Orioles in this modern era are going to have to sign one-year pitchers, and take their chances on guys who might not have as much as they used to have, signing guys for a lot of money that can't possibly be as good as you remember them being. Same thing with Joe Flacco. The Browns signed him. They don't think they're getting 2012 Joe Flacco. They know that, right? And knowing that, you've already lowered your bar. You've
Yeah.
already said the really good Charlie Morton, we can't afford him. So, he's sort of like vintage wine that's going a little bad. But, we won't really tell the guests. But it used to be a $100 bottle of wine, but we got it for $20, even though it's undrinkable. We're still going to, instead of just buying a $20 bottle of wine, I don't understand their philosophy on Kimbrel. And I would go back to the bigger picture of your philosophy, which is, hey, blackjack guy Sig says, don't bet on pitchers. Don't bet on young pitchers. Don't bet on development pitchers. We need here and now for pitching and use all of our tarot cards, our draft picks on bats, bats that can get to the big leagues, bats that are five tool, have a little speed. Don't care where they play. We'll give them a glove. We could turn Mateo into a center fielder. And that's been their philosophy. And then you need pitching. And when you need pitching, it's, Well, let's go deal the second baseman and the outfield that aren't really any good, and we'll deal them down to Florida and we'll get something. We'll get a pitcher and, a guy we could put in the rotation. And then Mr. Moneybags will come along with money. Now, I don't know that Elias ever knew that a Moneybags was coming along because he was in business with the Angelos family, and that was a whole different way to run the place than whatever this is. I don't know what this is. I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to the owner about it. I'll be talking to his president this week, whether she talks to me or not. So I'm philosophically, Kimbrel, Shigano, Morton, Gibson, the 1 year signings. This isn't a cheap way to do business. It really isn't. To spend $20 million a year on a pitcher that can't pitch. That's not a cheap. They're really not saving money.
I mean, they're saving money in the sense that you're not locking in a long-term commitments, in the scenario that you have a pitcher who has a.
Expect of a 41-year-old pitcher. What did
But
you
that's the thing,
expect?
right? I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, we're going to sign Charlie Morton to a $4 million deal, and if he's awful 6 weeks into the
Well,
season,
Kyle Gibson, we're waiting on him.
yeah,
He
I
might
mean,
stink too, right? It's about that time for him.
sure. I
He's
mean,
certainly not going to look like Grayson Rodriguez in his prime, you know?
No. But you're right. I mean, from the standpoint of you can talk all you want about the whole notion, and you hear this across sports. You hear this in multiple sports. There's no such thing as a bad 1 year contract, right? How many times have you heard that over the years? But that's not true. I mean, Charlie Morton's making $15 million. This isn't five. He's making real money. Now, it's not real money that's going to cripple. Cripple's the wrong word, is going to really hamstring your payroll in the way that, the Chris Davis deal did, for example, or the way that the Rangers, if Jacob deGrom never comes back from Tommy John surgery and looks the same, and obviously he's back this year, but I mean, it's just, you look at that, the last 2 years alone, two signings, Craig Kimbrel, $13 million for the bullpen. And $15 million for Charlie Morton. I mean, that's $28 million. I know that's not spread out over, you're not talking $28 million over the next 4 years or something crazy like that for a pitcher, but that's real money that looks like you're just completely flushed down the drain the last 2 years. I mean, at least Kimbrel was good for half a season ish, I mean, he had his slip up in late May and or late April and early May, but he at least gave them a half of mostly competent pitching. I mean, Morton,
You were
he
hoping Morton could give you Suarez kind of production, right?
yeah, at a minimum, sure. Because
You paid him
Albert
$17 million.
Suarez, you signed, an international signing of a veteran guy that you invited to camp, right? I mean, there was no downside to that whatsoever, other than some sweat
Baseball's
equity.
crazy. You got some rookie pitcher making nothing, and you're expecting him to do this, and you pay some guy $17 million, and you're expecting him to do that. It's all out of whack. I mean, and especially they work together. I've run offices where people make different amounts of money and heard all about it. It's a whole different thing when the guy's making $17 million, can't get anybody out. Like I don't. That never went well. That never smelled well, even if the guy
No.
was a good guy. I go back to Glenn Davis. That's how far back I go to when somebody's making a lot of money and not being productive. It's all out of whack in baseball. I haven't had a locker room pass in 20 years, so I don't know, but there is a workplace thing where it's like, my God, they wasted all that money on that guy and I'm making nothing and I'm going out there and doing it. There's a lot of that in baseball. There really just isn't. This
But
seems
I think.
like such wasted money. It's, as frugal as they want to be and as limited as their payroll is and as limited as their money is, and I'll be pointing that out to Katie Griggs this week. This is tough to swallow in the same way that the Kimbrel thing last year, before we knew about Mr. Rubenstein and his money and like all of that, just was a lot of money to spend on a relief pitcher last year that was like cautionary tale that it's the most money the franchise has ever spent on a relief pitcher. And he didn't even make it to the 4th of July, really.
Well, no, I mean, he made it into the second half of the season. He didn't make it through the season, though.
No,
I mean,
but I mean, by the end of May, you were like, he can't be our closer.
no, it wasn't that early. I mean, because he had gotten back on track. I mean, it was the second half. I mean, he had his bad stretch in late April and early May, and then he was good, pretty darn good until early July, and then it fell apart.
Well, we're
I mean,
waiting for
then
Pretty Darn Good to Morton, and I don't know if he's
I
going to
mean,
get the
they
ball to
haven't
be
even
able
gotten
to
that.
show that
Right.
he's pretty darn
They
good.
haven't gotten that. But, something you said, I don't think it's just baseball. I mean, the Ravens dealt with something very similar to this. I mean, Marcus Williams had the third highest cap number on the team this past year, and yet the formerly undrafted, making somewhere around the league minimum, Ardarius Washington was the guy who had to replace him and played quite well. And what did he get rewarded with this offseason? Oh, he got a restricted free agent tender, which, look, he'll end up getting a decent contract, I guess, I suppose, at some point. But, it's the
But to your
system.
point, you're paying a guy $17 million. The
Who was
kid's in there playing well enough
played
that if he
better?
had played that well, you'd say, okay, we paid a little bit too much money,
The
but we have
point.
a guy on the field, there's productivity, and it's plus productivity, not minus productivity.
The point that you're making, though, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whatever the sport may be, if you have a high-priced player, and look, Charlie Morton is not a high-priced pitcher in the way that Corbin Burns is, or in the way that you think of Gerrit Cole or some of the very best of the best in baseball, the highest paid in baseball, but he is relatively high paid, certainly compared to the rest of the Orioles, right? And again, $15 million, that's not nothing either, right? There's a middle ground here where we acknowledge, okay, it's not a long-term deal. It's not going to be something that hamstrings your payroll over the next 4 or 5 years if it doesn't work out, but it's still $15 million. That's not nothing, right? To your point, Albert Suarez was making nothing last year and was at for a bulk a large portion of the season was arguably their second best starting pitcher. So it's an absolute disaster. It's an absolute disaster because of
The
Corbin
other
Burns
injuries too.
leaving, because of Grayson Rodriguez now wondering if he's even going to pitch in 2025. I mean, there's nothing official, but I don't need to tell you when someone shut down then because they had some kind of an elbow issue, even if it wasn't pertaining to the UCL ligament itself, and now you're saying he has shoulder issues. There's something wrong with his arm. There's something wrong with that, whatever that chain is, right? That chain of the body parts and muscles and structure and all that. There's something wrong here. Whether it's going to lead to a serious surgery or whether it's just he's going to have to be shut down for an extended period of time and maybe he'll have a chance to pitch in August, maybe not. Who knows? It's bad. So right off the bat there, you lost your ace from last year. You look like you've lost your ace, or the guy that you're hoping to be your ace in 2025. Eflin's on the shelf, even though it sounds like it's not a overly serious lat issue, but I don't think his return is just imminent, meaning like he's returning later this week. That's not happening. So that said, this is where I come to the point where we need to start looking at this differently in terms of everything that's happening right now. It's one thing to have the second half that the Orioles had last year and want to give Mike Elias a pass, want to give Brandon Hyde a pass, want to give the coaching staff a pass, and also, yes, wanting to give the players a pass. Because let's not completely, like, this young core isn't made of 21-year-olds exclusively. Like, Jackson Holliday is 21. The rest of these guys have been around a little bit at this point in time.
When you're
And
in
they've,
your third and fourth season in the big
right,
leagues, you got to be
exactly,
producing.
exactly. So, all of that, when I see what happens on Sunday, it's feeling more and more like it's time to start putting everyone on notice. Like, this is below the bar. This is unacceptable. And look, Mike Elias did a phenomenal job building this thing to the point where it was in 2023, when clearly they became not just a contender, but they had the best record in the American League that year. But getting them to that point and then knowing how to get them over the hump, I don't know if Mike Elias has the ability to do that. And look, the payroll's part of that and ownership's part of that. And this isn't me saying fire him the third week of April, but at the same time, I don't, who deserves a free pass at this point in time? Brandon Hyde and his coaching staff. Look, people talk about the lineups and who's playing against which pitcher. What about the sloppiness that we continue to see? What about some of the little league-esque defense that we've seen at times? We saw it Friday night, in another game that wasn't 24-2, but was ugly when you had a 40 plus thousand people at the ballpark and you played a pretty listless brand of baseball, and that's probably the nicest way I could characterize their performance on Friday night. So at some point in time, you look at this thing and say, Michael Elias doesn't, what has he done to earn a lifetime pass? What has Brandon Hyde done to earn a lifetime pass? What have these young players done to be absolved from criticism, right? It's go time. I mean, this is not a good baseball team right now. I can't figure out if it's closer to mediocre or just plain
Well,
bad.
it's not going to be a good baseball team based on the pitching that I
Well,
currently
and that's the
see.
thing, right? I
It
mean,
can't be good with this pitching.
it can't be this bad, right? And this is where I go
Oh,
back.
okay. I mean, you're going to
No,
go the other way
no,
with
no,
it,
no,
but
no. No, I'm
I
when I
think they could
say
lose 5 out of 7 every week with this pitching. I mean,
no,
I mean.
you misunderstand what I when I say it can't be this bad, meaning it is not acceptable for be it to be this bad, regardless of the fact that Zach Eflin and Grayson Rodriguez are not in the rotation. You have three other guys in the rotation who were projected to be in the rotation. You can't have far and away the absolute worst starter ERA in baseball, other than that you're comparing notes with the Rockies, who aren't even trying to win right
Well, when
now,
you're getting
who
that
are.
kind of pitching, to your point, there's no way you can be a 500 team. You
Sure,
can't go out there
if it's not
four
going to
out of
be any
five
better
nights
than
and have bad
this,
pitching. You can't do
if it's
it.
not going to be any better than this, then yeah, it's hard for, as much as I've been hard on the hitting, I don't mean it on a day when you give up 24 runs and you have two position players pitching.
Dude, they're
What?
going to lose games 10-8. You know what I mean? They're going to score 8 runs and lose games. They are. I mean, at this
I'm
rate,
not
they are.
disagreeing. But my point through all of that, when we were kind of sparring over that over the first 3 weeks of the season, was you need to at least make that an option for me, right? Like the offense has to at least show me that, then fine. Then I will blame the pitching. But if you're only scoring 2 runs, and Sunday's a bad example, right? I mean, not that they swung the bats worth anything on Sunday, but you can't have these games where if you lose 5-4 or if you lose 4-3, then yeah, I am going to blame the offense because only giving up 3 or 4 or 5 runs for this pitching staff at this point is a win,
Well, you were
I
yelling at the
suppose.
hitters last week when the pitching
They
was
deserved
good
it.
enough, you
Right, they
know?
just look, and this is where I keep going back to. At some point in time, like Michael Elias, this isn't Ozzie Newsome who's won multiple Super Bowls. Brandon Hyde hasn't won. He's not a World Series winning manager. Like
Yeah, what a
these aren't.
playoff game, dude.
So, and again, obviously, I'm talking about management there, but the same goes for these players. I mean, at some point in time, like you got to perform and. The young core doesn't deserve a free pass. What have they done to deserve a free pass? And so this is, I mean, this is bad. It's bad baseball. Very bad baseball. I mean, it's the captain obvious statement on the heels of a 24-2 game that, I mean, you're starting to wonder if they're going to approach the 30-3 from 2007, the day that Tremblay got his extension as manager. But I mean, but the Charlie Morton thing. And I like to think that I've tried to be measured in how I've talked about this, but Brandon Hyde talked about it on Saturday after they won on Saturday. And obviously it was a grind getting through 27 outs because, Brandon Young, he competed, but I mean, this isn't a pro, th this is not even a real pitching prospect. He's minor league inventory. He's one of the better pitching prospects they have, which is part of the problem with this organizational philosophy that. Okay, you can keep drafting bats, but if your pitching is this terrible, what good is it going to do? But he gave them a chance at the very least. Like they were in the game and they were able to win the ball game. But Brandon Hyde talked about it in the post game. He kind of, not in a combative way, but in an encouraging way, he kind of said, "Hey, Charlie Morton, we need him on Sunday to give us length. We need him to give us innings. Our bullpen had to work really hard the last couple nights."
Yeah, we're asking a guy
And
we're paying $17
yeah.
million as a 20-year veteran to step up, right? On Easter.
A guy making $15 million, and he couldn't even get out of the third inning. I mean, he walked 4 guys in 2 1/3 innings. I mean, it's to say it's below the bar. I mean, there is no bar at this point for Charlie Morton. I mean, that's how horrendous he's been. I mean, he has an ERA that's almost 11. There hasn't been a start yet where you can really. I mean, the closest you would come to would be. The afternoon start he made against the Red Sox when he struck out 10, but he gave up those two-run homers. I mean, gave up, what, 4 or 5 runs in that outing. If that's the high water mark, oh my goodness. I mean,
Well, and Shugano came out and made it look, legitimate last week. We're looking forward to him getting the ball
yeah,
again to say, well, at least,
he's done a pretty nice job. I mean,
I'm
like,
trying to figure out where the hope is, because I don't think the hope is in Charlie Morton. I think we can sit here and
no.
beat him up all day, but I don't think he's
I mean,
capable of
he might
going
just
out there and
be,
getting.
he just might be completely washed. I mean, it might be that simple. I mean, look, I don't care if you're 41, 31, or 21. You can't have a 10.89 ERA 5 starts into the season and not have people asking questions about whether you should be keeping your job or not. I mean, that's not being mean. That's reality. And he'd be the first to tell you
Well, in a
that, I would
season of,
assume.
it's one thing for the 2018 Orioles. This is a whole different
I mean,
place that this franchise is
this
in
is
right
Dan
now.
Straley like pitching. I mean, I actually made the joke. I saw the jersey in the crowd during this homestand. There was someone that was sporting a Dan Straley Orioles jersey, and okay, it's not Dan Straley level because, by the way, go back and look at those numbers, man. It's still, I think a lot of Orioles fans blocked that out. It was 2019. They had no chance. They weren't trying to win anyway. But this is awful. He's been absolutely horrendous, and I don't. Other than that Boston game, like I said, where he struck out 10, he's not missing bats. I mean, in his other starts, he has 11 strikeouts total. So, like, you can't even look at that and say, oh, well, the peripherals don't look as bad. I mean, he's been a disaster. Even from a metric standpoint, his fielding independent pitching, it's FIP. Anyone that's in the sabermetrics
Oh, here he
has heard
goes. Here
that.
he goes. He
No,
nerded it out.
but I'm
Teach me.
telling you, it's a
Seriously.
peripheral. It's something that kind of tries to measure someone's stuff, and it tries to be predictive, knowing that batted ball luck can be very unlucky, or you can be very fortunate with batted ball luck. We've also seen starts where a pitcher goes 6 innings and gives up 1 run, yet loud contact throughout the outing, and you say, "Man, his defense really backed him up. Man, he was really fortunate." But BIP measures, it takes out all the batted ball scenarios. So it evaluates a pitcher based on basically strikeouts, walks, hit by pitch. And it kind of gives you a number that's supposed to,
Non-contact pitches.
yeah,
Okay.
it's
Okay.
supposed to basically give you a number that replicates ERA to try to be predictive. Well, if you're trying to be more positive, Charlie Morton's FIP is better. You want to know what it is? 6.47. I mean, that's not, you know what I mean? So there's nothing to point to right now with him that is encouraging. I can keep talking until I'm blue in the face about, well, this guy's lost his curveball. His curveball used to be elite. I mean, this is a 10.89 pitcher right now. And I assume because the options are so limited, I assume he's probably going to make the next start, but I don't know how you can do that
Well,
because
who are you
it's
going to
that
put
bad.
in? Then that
And
becomes
that's
the
the
question
problem.
for them.
And that's the problem. But that said, that's you saying that is completely valid, and I agree 100%. However, there's too much of that going on right now with this organization. It is really easy to look at something and say it's bad, or look at something and say it's leaving you wanting, but you can also point to something else. And I feel like, and I'm not saying it's deliberate. I'm not calling people out in terms of, that anyone's, overly complacent or anything like that. But,
Good's
the
been good enough around here.
yeah, but there's also a certain element to everything that's going on where you can point, it's very easy to point to something else, right? If you're Mike Elias, look at our injuries. If you're Brandon Hyde, look at our injuries. Or are you seeing who we're starting, every 5 days? For the hitters, well, are you seeing the pitching? Even the pitchers, well, Luke from WNST was pointing out how bad the hitting was, or how inconsistent the hitting was. The defense has been not good. There's just a lot of not good going on right now. And again, this doesn't mean fire everyone on April 21st, but there are plenty of people that are calling for things of that nature right now. And believe me, this fan base has every right to be frustrated. They sat through a lot, 5 years of terrible baseball. And we're talking about, okay, they made the playoffs the last 2 years. That's great. That's not the end game. That's not the high water mark. So for them to have to see the kind of backslide that we've seen since the second half of last year, fans have every right to be ticked off right now. So, problem is, I don't really know what the solution is at the moment. I mean, if this team loses, stays on the pace they're on right now, which is right around a 90, 91 loss pace, I think it is off the top of my head, Brandon Hyde could lose his job at some point of the way. You could argue should lose his job at some point. However, that doesn't mean that you just fire Brandon Hyde and replace him with whoever and everything's fine. They've got issues all over the place here.
Well,
And
Brandon
wait.
Hyde would say, "Who bought the groceries, dog?"
Sure. No question. So, but we also know, you can't fire all the players I mean, you can fire the general manager, but again, my overall prevailing point here is we're very much entering a territory where everyone needs to be put on notice that this is unacceptable what we're seeing now. Yeah, I get it. The pitcher injuries it's really stunk, and they've had some bad fortune in that way. However, you still have three-fifths of your starting rotation that you went into spring training expecting to be your starting rotation. It shouldn't be this bad. It shouldn't be this bad. Bottom 10 in the league, below average. Yeah, what did you really expect, right? But when you're talking about something that is the absolute worst of the worst in Major League Baseball, I'm sorry. Two pitcher injuries should not lead to that. Meaning for the rotation. And I get it. Some of their depth pieces are unavailable as well.
Well,
I get it.
it would be like
I'm not
Maryland
saying this should
basketball
be
when they had
good.
five players this year, right? Like you only have so much depth with pitching. So you're just like
I
two
understand.
starting pitchers shouldn't rock their world. Well, they're thin enough that it has,
And
right?
I
And
understand.
they're thin enough that they had to go out and spend $17 million on a Japanese guy that had never pitched in the big leagues and cross their fingers, which is pretty good right now. It's okay. But they knew all along, and they knew before the season began, no Bradish, none of that was coming back, that this was the best they could do. And listen, I defended it. All of you hated it. I was trying to kiss all their asses to get my press pass back, honestly. You never liked any of this. Dave Shinen didn't like it. Messina, McCallum, all of my baseball guys were like, "This isn't good enough." 41-year-old pitchers and 35-year-old Japanese guys and remnant Kyle Gibson,
Sagano's
who's
their
a
best
nice
pitcher
guy.
right now there. And what's crazy about that, I mean, you just mentioned Sagano. He's one of the might be the only guy, maybe Kramer, that I have any hope in right now. I mean, that's as far as guys that are available. So I'm again, what do you expect in terms of no one's expecting this to be good the way it looks right now. But it can't be 6.11 starter ERA, worst in baseball, worse than the Rockies, worse than the Miami Marlins. Horrendous. If it were bottom 10, I'd say, yeah, what do you expect? They got a hit and they need their bullpen to be good. And their bullpen has been good. Although I'm starting to, at some point in time, the bullpen's just going to completely wear out, because I mean, this is not tenable. It's one thing to talk about a not so good ERA, but when you're not getting out of the third inning the way
Well, I'm
that,
not convinced the bullpen's any good either.
well,
You
but
know.
they've at least performed at a much higher level, is my point. The bullpen statistically has performed well.
That
This is
always
not
feels
even,
fleeting, though, by the way, with bullpen. You know what I
well,
mean? There are going to be bad spots for the bullpen. We
I mean,
just
of
haven't
course
had
it
many
is.
lately.
I'm not, but my point is they have been a positive contributor in wins this year, whereas the starting pitching, save for Eflin's three starts, what we saw from Sagano, Sagano, for the most part, I mean, even his other starts that weren't that great, he's been competitive. We haven't seen him give up seven runs in an outing, right? Kramer this last time out. But man, when you talk about these other guys, what you're getting from Morton, I mean, Cade Povich was bad on Friday night. I mean, and okay, Kyle Gibson's gonna be joining the fold. He pitched Sunday. His pitch count, I expect the next turn through, he's going to be in the rotation. I mean, I think that's why they sent Brandon Young back down after Saturday's start, because they're going to have Gibson, taking his place when you need a fifth starter. But I mean, this is just absolutely horrendous what we're seeing now. And that's where I look at this thing and say, regardless of Eflin and Grayson, and I'm not diminishing that. Those are massive, massive, massive losses. But you still have three-fifths of your projected opening day rotation that Charlie Morton's making $15 million. I mean, if you wanted a 41-year-old who couldn't pitch, you could have paid me 100 grand and I would have gone out there. I mean, seriously. I mean, this is just, it's painful watching whatever Charlie Morton is at this point in time. And to your point, though, what is the alternative right now? I mean, like I said, you can try to put him in the bullpen. You can, do the Ubaldo Jimenez pothole scenario and put him on the IL. You can try to skip him, something like that. But I mean, you just don't have options right now. And I mean,
The
the best.
Ubaldo Jimenez pothole. That's a crazy, that's how into lying they were that we, a decade later, we still remember their ridiculousness in just trying to soothe the egos of these guys that they bench. I don't, I'm with you though. I don't know how you continue to give the ball to Charlie Morton. Tell me to come out and buy tickets this week. Well, they're on the road this week, but
I mean,
and
even that
thinking you're going to
part,
have a chance to win.
I mean, even the ticket part aside, how do you look at the rest of the guys in your clubhouse? Seriously, I mean, and this goes back to one of your points at the very beginning. Look, it's nothing personal. Yeah, my few interactions with Charlie Morton, he seems like a perfectly decent enough guy, right? I mean, I don't think, he doesn't want to go out and pitch poorly, but I mean, how do you look at the rest of your clubhouse? I mean, and this is where I will stick up for the young core a little bit, even though, again, I'm not going to give the continue giving these guys passes when they're the individuals who aren't performing. But how do you look them in the eye and say that, man, we built this thing up, and man, we won 101 games last or 2 years ago, and even with our injuries, we still won 91 last year and made the playoffs, and this is what you give them? This is how you augment the rest of the roster? I mean, this is where I look at this thing and I start to question more and more. I mean, Mike Elias built something into a contender, but there's also general managers. And I'll use this example. I've talked about this for years. I don't know how often it's come up between you and me, but me having a brother-in-law who's a big Philadelphia Phillies fan, Dave Dombrowski, to me, even though you can go back earlier in his career, but over the last 15 years, 20 years as a general manager, to me has really struck me as much more of a general manager that you want to have in place when you already have a core in place. And he's the guy that, albeit spends money, has been a general manager for big market teams over the last, 15 years or so, but strikes me more as the general manager that isn't the guy that you get if you're rebuilding. He's the guy that you get when you're ready to win. I'm starting to wonder if Mike Elias is the rebuilding general manager, but I don't know if he
The scout guy, but not the guy that's going to make
that's
deals.
going to
Not the
make the
guy that's going
deals
to
to get
build
you
a
over the hump.
roster.
I
Yeah,
mean,
I
you have
understand.
to start asking that over the last couple of years. I mean, going back to the 2023 trade deadline when they absolutely needed a legit serious reliever and they got Fuji, who wasn't even on the postseason roster, despite the fact that they lost Felix Bautista along the way down the stretch. So.
You know, the weird thing about 2 years ago when I look back on it is I don't know that they were really ready to win or even thinking about winning at that
Yeah.
point. You know what I mean? And I think at that point it struck all of them as a surprise. And I
Yeah.
think they could have and should have been more serious. Keep in mind who owned the team 2 summers ago,
No
right?
question. No
John
question.
Boy's still running
No
around.
question
They're not
about it.
buying $15 million relief pitchers 2 years ago. John
Understood.
Boy's trying to convince everybody he's a land developer, including the governor. I mean, we're not even a year and a half out on the Papal
Understood.
wave, dude. You know what I mean? Like all this issues happen real fast that this expectation that they're going to go win the World Series with a new owner, with a great bobblehead on Saturday, by the way. Owner's got a bobblehead. I don't, when I tell people from out of town that, I don't know
People
what
think
to
it's
say, dude.
weird. They think it's weird. Anyway,
Here's the word
there's
I,
so much else.
no, I'll get this.
Okay, go ahead.
Clownish. Clownish was the word a former executive, high level executive in baseball used for me. Clownish. Now, this was somebody from out of town. It says, I don't know what's going on. Send me one sentence. I don't know what's going on there, but it looks clownish from here, is what the person wrote to me. And I thought, that's a hell of an observation for somebody that's been in professional sports for 40 years.
I mean, I just think, and I don't want to dwell on this because there's so many other much more
But
pressing
who owns the
issues.
team? There's nothing more pressing than that and how
Well,
he's going to
but the
manage
bobblehead
this.
doesn't that, the bobblehead, who cares at the end of the day? Who really cares?
Well, he
But
did.
I'm if they were 14 and 7 right now, no one would give a crap about the bobblehead right now.
Un
I mean, they just
understood, but
wouldn't.
they're
And that's
not.
the problem. But
They're
the problem is that, they're
not.
right. They're, so now I lost my train of thought.
It'll all come back to you. Luke Jones is here. He's
But no,
Baltimore. Go ahead.
just to finish my thought there on Elias. And again, this is not me saying Mike Elias should be fired today. This is not me saying Brandon Hyde should be fired today. This is me saying everyone needs to be on notice right now because this across the board is not good enough. And we're still seeing core position players on this team not really performing. I mean, look, it was great to see Jordan Westbrook snap out of it over the weekend, but he was in an 0 for 30. I've talked about this. Go look at what Adley Rutschman's numbers are since opening day. And I get it. The batted ball looks way data looks way better. I do think he's hitting into worse luck. I don't think it's been truly as bad as last year. But go look at his numbers since opening day. You take opening day out, and it was a great performance. It's part of the. But since then, go look at the numbers and tell me they don't look familiar to what we were seeing the second half of last year. My point is with that, I'm not picking on any one entity. I'm saying all of it. All of it across the board. This is not good enough. This is way below the bar. And the pitching is the monster headliner right now. But we're seeing too many other cracks elsewhere.
Can
Defense,
I say something else
Jake.
out loud here, just like as
Go
a
ahead.
as a as an aside on this? Because you're saying it's not good enough, and I'm like, you know what? It's not good enough. I'm pissed. Mr. Rubenstein needs to do something about this. And you know what? When it comes
Bobblehead.
time to him to replace the baseball
Well,
people
yes.
here, and Bisciotti is qualified to do this, but would never do this with Ozzie and Eric. And we could talk about that this week because he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to replace anybody, not Sashi Brown. He didn't even hire Sashi Brown. Dick Cass did, right? So, like, the interviewing process of, all right, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Elias was John's guy. He's the
Yeah.
builder. He's not the right guy. Who's going to be the one doing the interviewing to
Oh, I
hire the
have no
baseball
idea.
person?
And
Because it's
again,
not David Rubenstein because he doesn't know anything about baseball. Like, literally, is it going to be Cal Ripken doing the interviewing then? Are they going to put Cal? Cal's too smart. Cal is way, way, way too smart to say, I'll fix it, and they're going to hire him. Because Cal is like Dan Marino. He doesn't want that job. You know, that current job, you could talk like Johnny Unitas being the offensive coordinator back when I got on the radio 30 years ago. Like, but somebody's going to have to hire that person.
Yeah.
They don't have any baseball people in their organization, real baseball people. Katie Griggs has been in sports 7 years. She worked in a soccer team, a minor league soccer team in Atlanta. Like, she didn't really have baseball. Like real baseball. They don't have that in the organization. They haven't had that since Sid Thrift. But I'm being wrong. I'll be nice to Duquette on that. And McPhail. But that's the kind of human they're going to need around here if they're going to replace Mike Elias, and they don't have an owner that knows anything about it or cares enough about it, you know?
Yeah, and again, this isn't me saying that I would fire him, but this how this all looks and how we're perceiving this and how we're viewing this and how we're judging this, like I'm tired of talking about, oh, well, look at all these first round picks. Okay. Look at what they did 2 years ago. Okay. Look at what their record is since late June of last year, right? At some point in time, it's like, this isn't good enough. I mean, this is moving in the wrong direction. And you made an interesting point because you talked about 2023 and you talked about the idea that that may have just surprised everyone that it was that good that quickly. I do think there's something to that. I do think there's something to the idea that maybe it was a little bit too fast, too soon as far as how good they got, that maybe Elias thought it would be more of a linear progression, more of a gradual progression.
Well, you'd
But
hate to look back and say their best chance to win the World Series was 2 years ago.
I mean,
And
at
I
some
look back on the Orioles, and I in my mind's eye, when they were up in New York, you and I were up in New York when Angelos came into the locker room. That was their best chance. The 14 year was their best chance.
2014 was. I mean, 12 was so surprising. And but you even looked at that roster in 12. I mean, they had Joe Saunders starting starting the wild card game, right? I mean, but 2014 was the year. But what stunk about that, and when you look at it 11 years later, they lost Machado and they lost Wieters. I mean they didn't have those guys late in the season, but it was sitting up for them. They had
Well,
home field
Markakis got
advantage
hurt the time before that, right? But 12 was
to
their better pathway to winning And when you look back, because 14 they ran into the Royals and they could play, they could still be playing the Royals and get their ass kicked. So
Oh, they weren't getting their butt. They didn't lose. They weren't 10-0
the
games that
Royals
they
were better
lose.
than them.
I don't know about that.
Okay. They
I
were
mean,
that weak. I know that.
they well,
So
okay, but you could say that about anyone.
I'm saying if they would have gotten past the Yankees that night in 12, looking back on it, that might
Maybe.
have been a better pathway for them
I mean,
in.
the Tigers beat the Yankees,
But it was
though.
very early on. Machado was
Anyway.
still a puppy. Like all of that was going on at that point. I would hate to look back on this and say 2 years ago was as best as it's going to get. Because right now, and they could have done more. And you're like, they've brought Fuji and we could have and should have done more. The whole idea is to build to this crescendo and to think of it linear. Like,
Yeah.
we're going to be better next year. We're going to build, we're going to build, we're going to build, and then we're going to get there. Building and building and building with Charlie Morton and Chigano and thinking Suarez is coming back and just I it's been flawed thinking from a pitching perspective. I would agree with that all the way
I
around.
mean, I just, what that you're just counting on so many things to go well, and I think what we're seeing, and this is where it's a part criticism, but it's also just being realistic, where you're when you do that, you're counting on your young core to just overcome all of that, and some guys are able to, but you also have other guys who aren't able to do that, and I mean, Tyler O'Neill replacing and look, I want to make clear, Santander is not an MVP of the league kind of player either, right? This isn't Eddie Murray that they let walk. This isn't Cal Ripken that they let walk. But, who's their veteran core right now? Who are the true vets that you're really leaning on right now? We talked about that last year, and the same holds true now. I mean, heavy is the crown. Right? I mean, talking about these young guys, these stud 1-1s and first round picks and top 100 prospects and all that. But man, it just feels like across the board, everyone with their individual role, other than a few Mullins and a few other, Gunnar started hitting. But man, it just feels like it's a heavy is the crown scenario for all of these guys, management and on field personnel. And man, it just doesn't feel like nearly enough people are handling it. But then that's where you go back to the lead, which is you have the worst starting pitching in baseball by a pretty distinct margin. I mean, everything else has to be so good to overcome that that's not realistic.
At least the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl on Thursday night in the draft. Lucas here all week. We're getting ready for the draft on Thursday. We're getting ready on Wednesday. We're going to be giving the Back to the Future scratch-offs out. I now have them in my hot little hands. We'll be at Cooper's North in Timonium on Wednesday afternoon. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Curio Wellness, Liberty Pure Solutions, powering us up, keeping us moving here into spring. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more baseball. We'll talk some more football. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.